chapter 1, verse 1, he says this: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First and foremost, Mark doesn't even talk about himself. He just says, this is the most important thing. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. Josh referenced earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. We've been talking over the last few weeks as we talk into what is it in a new era that churches should be grabbing hold of. For God so loved the world, first and foremost. He loved, and therefore you are loved, and you cannot change anything about it. You are loved by God. Whether you ever love him, whether you return that love, you are loved by God, and he has made a way for that to happen through his Son. That Son came down through a royal line of David, who was a Jewish king. It actually happened. And Matthew, if you want to read the first chapter of Matthew, makes it very clear that that line was very far from perfect. It wasn't perfect people. It was a perfect God. He was delivering his promise through people. His determination, even in Genesis, to say, I want to deliver all of my joy and life and freedom through you, my creation, has not changed from that day to this. He never pulled away from the plan, but he delivered his Son to engage it. David was the most important in that lineage to point towards Jesus and the eternal kingdom that was going to reign on the earth. His authority was defining and constantly singing about. You'd have heard the Psalms. That's what David wrote as songs towards God. And his songs were deep, but they were also prophetic, and they spoke about the righteousness and the justice that would come from God the Father upon the earth through his Son. So righteousness and justice were a big deal about what Jesus was going to do. When you think about righteousness and justice, think about what needs to be put right. And you might think in your eyes, I know what needs to be put right today, yesterday, tomorrow, the person next to me, whatever it is, right? But we're talking about what God sees and what God says needs to be put right. Ultimate justice and righteousness, where everybody gets to respond to what he's saying. In verse 2, Mark is wanting to make sure that this is credible. And he says, as it is written in the Isaiah the prophet, behold, I am sending my messenger before your face. That means I'm going to make it obvious. You would have to have your eyes closed not to see this. I'm going to send a messenger that will be very clearly recognizable to you. Who will prepare your way? Your way to the Father. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, of course, we know that Mark is talking about John the Baptist, a messenger who will stand in the desert. He'll be dressed in a certain way. It will be absolutely obvious. And he will say, I'm preparing the paths for those for him who to make his path straight. The Lord, which refers to the Messiah. You see, John came preaching repentance, which everybody knew they needed. But Jesus was going to come preaching redemption, which not everybody knew was possible. Maybe you come to church on a Sunday often feeling like a sinner, feeling like you're struggling, feeling like you don't measure up, and you know you need to repent. Something needs to change. Repentance is just to turn around, to stop doing what you were doing and do what you should be doing. But how many of you actually believe when you come to church that not only do you get to turn around, but you get to actually receive redemption as if those things could never hold you and were not remembered anymore? Because the gospel is incredibly powerful. Not to do that in a way that skips over what you've done, but to require that that be paid for and done in Christ. So when John the Baptist comes on the earth and he starts calling out, this is what's coming. How you come to the Father is about to change. It's not going to be through the offering to bulls and goats. It's not going to be offering to the priest once a year. It is going to be through Jesus. That's what John's going to say. Why is this important at Christmas? Because people don't understand what the baby meant. And Israel knew what the baby meant to some degree. In fact, it was put obviously before them. It was anticipated this Messiah was coming. They were given what the messenger looked like. But what the Messiah would look like was hidden from them. You would have to seek to find him. But the timing and the circumstances would be obvious through the messenger. Think about us as messengers on the earth today. What are we rejoicing about? We're rejoicing that we get to proclaim the King. They see you. People see you and I. And we are a signpost to what Jesus is doing and is about to do and is coming again in the same way. Isn't this good news? John was telling a Jewish nation, this isn't all about you. This has never been all about you. Even your own prophets say this is about all people getting to receive the gospel. It went from a national savior idea, Jesus is going to come and because we're part of a nation, we're going to be saved. You know? I mean, there was a lot of people standing around at like 5 o'clock in the morning thinking if those Socceroos won, they had done it. Was there not? In the same way, the Jews felt that if this person did this, then they had done it. They had come through to Christ. Every individual, every person, Mark was saying, will get to come to him and respond to him and be released by him. It went from being national to individual, what God was going to do. Many years had passed, many prophecies had come. There was an anticipation, maybe a weariness. Maybe, God, is this going to change? Is this ever going to change? Maybe you've walked in this morning thinking about the promises of God and going, I don't see anything changing. I've prayed, I've stayed faithful, I don't see anything changing. Jesus was the worst kept secret to a nation. And we have him available to us every single day of our lives. In verse 4, he says, John appeared, this messenger, the preparer, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him. That's a few people. And were being baptized by him in the River Jordan and confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. He was recognizable. They would have known through the years that people like Elijah, people like Elisha were a little different. They would have known the superheroes of their faith, the prophets, what they looked like. And so when John came and looked exactly like that, it wasn't like, I wonder what he's doing. This is that. This is him. And what was he saying? Prepare the way of the Lord. And he was saying it with something of a resonance that it drew repentance. People just didn't sit around and go, oh, I don't know if I feel like that today. You know, that John guy is always carrying on. You know, I really don't cope with his look. He's always got a locust leg stuck in his teeth. You know, he eats honey, so he smells sweet, but he just looks a bit, you know, gross. So, today's not my day. I'm feeling a bit heavy. I'm feeling a bit weighed down. I know I'm sinful, but I'm not going to. It wasn't optional Christianity, friends. There was a compulsion that was coming by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I long for those days in Adelaide. He was clothed. He was noticeable. It was obvious. He looked like a prophet. He looked like what Isaiah had said. He looked like what Micah, Exodus explains. He looked like Elijah, Elisha. And so they knew the sign of repentance had come. Time to get yourself right. There was a plan for hope. This messenger of justice was saying, Justice is on the way. But love is on the way. Justice is on the way. Love will come all through this. Mark references Jesus as the plan of God, and he speaks about him being a Messiah of peace. Listen to this. In verse 7, he says, "And he preached, saying," this is John preaching, "after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In verse 9, it goes on to say that Jesus was the first of everything. He went and he was the one to experience baptism and the reality of what it would look like for us. In those days, in verse 9 it says, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved, with you I am well pleased." For every single one who responds to the Father through the Son, the reality is they don't just come and get a repentant moment where their sins are relieved. They also get a moment where they look up and allow the reality of Jesus, the power of all of his done, to be received from the Father. It's not the good and well done faithful servant yet, but it's, "I am well pleased." What pleases God is when we offer up to him the surrendered life to Christ alone. When we worship him and give him all dues, when we stop the work we've tried to do to get it right and relieve to him and say, "It's your work that has done this and I will serve you." You know, many people have thought, well, that was just Jesus. That was just a moment. That was a historical. Every time someone comes to Jesus, repentance and redemption are on offer. Complete exoneration by the power of Jesus' name. When we look to anything else, we only receive a temporary relief. But when we look to Jesus, it is eternal. Absolutely eternal and transformative. Do you not think for Jesus, the Son of God, that was not a transformative moment? From there, he went out and he began his ministry. It was power-packed. It was definitive. I've often said to people, do not leave home without the Holy Spirit. You'll look like a Christian, but you'll be very earthly and unimpressive. But if the Holy Spirit has come upon you and is in you and is working through you, you won't even try and impress anybody, and God will do it. I really do think that the world is needing a refreshing engagement of the church where it's not about our own self-importance, but it's about Jesus' importance alone. Completely humble and completely directed towards him. What I love is that when Mark is preaching to us down through the corridors of time, he's referring to scriptures, he's referring to prophets that we may not know what they'd said. And I don't want you to miss today the weight of what Mark was speaking from. Because when you know what Isaiah said, and when you know what Malachi said, you get the full detail of why this was a big moment. Why Jesus delivering this is incredibly powerful. The triune God in action. The Father reveals the Son. Jesus releases the Spirit. The Spirit renews us from inside out. Father releases Son. Son releases Spirit. Spirit renews us. If you've had one of those or part of those, then I'm encouraging you today, all of those are available to you. Isaiah said this about Jesus. Chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness." Rome would have felt a little dark, a little bit oppressive, a little bit imperial, a little bit slavish. "On them has the light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with a joy at harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Harvest time. When things are brought in, made right, paid, released. In verse 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born. Oh, this is where this baby born in a manger thing is a big deal. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is referenced there. The Father God is referenced there. The Holy Spirit is referenced there. It's the package, the whole deal. When we elementalize it, when we separate it, when we process it, we don't receive the power that Jesus intended us to walk in. Of the increase of the government of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. His power, his authority, his hand, his death, his resurrection, his life. We fast forward to the end of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 1. Mark would have known this verbatim, would have been in his heart, ready to be drawn up at any time. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. They can't see a thing, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Whenever Christ is revealed in us, it draws people. And we are to give him glory. It's nothing I have done, but let me tell you what he's done. Proclaim the King. The first part of rejoicing, Coastlands, friends, visitors, is that we get to proclaim the King. You know, I see people do TikToks in public and there's no shame. And I'm like, I would be dying 1,000 deaths doing that. And yeah, I thought about it this week and I'm thinking, this generation is ready for an unashamed gospel. If they're going to do TikToks, which are not eternal, in public when no one cares, what would they do with the gospel? If they don't care what people think, as far as, I'm not going to say that because that might be taboo or uncool. What would an unembarrassed generation do captivated by God? Many of us spend most of our lives getting free of what other people think. And Jesus can do it in a second. Malachi says this for us to respond today. It's helpful. Malachi 3, verse 1 to 4. Some of you thought Malachi 3 was just about tithing. Guess what? That wasn't the point. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking through Malachi, delivering this truth. I'll send John the Baptist. He's going to deliver the Lord. And the Lord whom you will seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, like the fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, that represents worshippers, and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Not their own stuff, righteousness that he has given them. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. A couple of pictures here. Refiner's fire is for melting stuff down and removing impurities. It will lose its form and be made into a new form of the maker, of the smith who's doing it. Fuller's soap, strange term. What does it have to do with? Cleaning garments. Was used to clean garments. Don't you love the poetry that is in the prophets that speaks about what Jesus was actually doing as he came up out of that water He was being identified as the one who would be like a refining fire and like the fuller's soap. His blood spilled on a cross would cleanse us so that we were able to be presented to the Father as holy. His purifying fire by His Spirit would cleanse us or bring out every impurity, melt us down to the point where we would be able to come righteous before the Father and our offering be pure. Today, that is an offer as much as it was through Malachi, through Jesus on the day He stood up in the Jordan and received the well-pleased, the I am well-pleased with you moment with His Father. And some of you desperately need that. Today, receive hope in Jesus. There's hope that people say comes from a lot of places. I encourage you online, in this room, receive hope in Jesus. Come to Him and rejoice in His work. Rejoice, see Christmas differently and say, that's the moment where God's love on a world that did not deserve it was poured out. Receive His work. Maybe you've worked so hard, you've made everything happen for you, and it hasn't delivered what you expected. And thirdly, be transformed, renewed. Melting down. You know, I've heard people, you ever heard that saying? They have a meltdown. You will have a meltdown in public if you don't have one in private. Today, make it your moment to come towards Christ and let Him melt you down. Don't let it be an expression of your end of yourself. Let it be an expression of, I choose to end that and I'm going to be going with Christ. Let Him melt you down and make you into what He's desired for you. Let Him mold you. Let Him make you. Yes, friends, it's surrender. Yes, friends, it's giving over control. And we love control. And the person who just said, no, we don't. We don't like control. You're probably the control freak. Everybody around you is like, repent, be redeemed, melted down, be malleable, be made new. Receive salvation, receive new garments, boldly walk into the Father's presence, boldly stand before the Father God, knowing that He's saying, I am pleased with you. You have received my Son's work, you have received your new garments, you stand holy before me, now live in a new way. That's what God wants to do in our hearts today. Whether we've forgotten it or whether it's time for us to respond for the first time. And I actually felt there were people who had resisted Him for years that were going to be here today. And a strange thing happens when I'm praying about this stuff. I get really pumped. Most people get really afraid by that. Oh, you know, they're really hard-edged people. I'm like, I was a hard-edged person until God absolutely melted me. And I know His word is the same today as it was then. So He's coming to your heart and He wants to pass through all your defenses and all your stuff that doesn't work and He wants to deliver you. And freedom will come. Maybe you'll be baptized on the first of the year. The reality of God, new life awaits you today. If what was working or what hasn't worked for you has come to its end and you've decided there is a new way of living and I need to find it, then you're probably here for a reason. Let Him who is justice put things right and bring you peace today. As the band comes up, because they're going to help us to offer our worship to the King in the way that He desired and the way that we can, why don't you do business with God and just say, God, like Mark, I want the gospel blunt. I want it responsive in my life. I want to receive it in a way that You intended. Father, let me know Your love. Let me know Your justice. Let me know Your peace. And overtake this heart.